it is Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Morning. You all right? Hope you're just trolling the audience there who hate the slurp sounds. We did a poll once, though, and the majority said they didn't mind. It's a good 30% of you said you hated it, so I shouldn't do that. I'll stop doing that. I'll try and remember most days to not do it deliberately. Anyway, how are you? You all right? I hope you are. Come on, wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey, come on. Another day, another dollar, let's get going. Out of bed, sleepyhead. As always, I'm joined... Actually, no. I was about to do the usual thing. As always, I'm joined by my producer. It's supposed to be little Harry every day, isn't it? But he's on holiday for the whole week. We've had Jack. Well, he's actually off as well now, so we've got Thomas. Thomas, how are you, sir?
Good morning. I'm fine.
Good. Good. We've got a deep bench here at Lotus Eaters. No expense spared. So hopefully everything will go to plan, but Thomas, is this your inaugural...
Yeah, this is my first stream.
Right, yeah, okay. So, great. We got a poll, I think. Get involved. The Glorious Band, the chosen few. You guys, you know who you are. The best people on earth, basically. Tune into the Bow Show live. Colloquially known as the Bow Show. Bow's Breakfast Club. Hashtag the real BBC. Should we stop faffing about, though? There's no need for all this fannying about. Let's just get straight into it. What have we got today? So, it's Never Again and Number 10 of the North. Never Again refers to a really horrible story about failings in the NHS. We'll get into it. And Number 10 of the North, one of the things King Bumham the First, no stone and Burnham, has said, is that he's considering decentralising power even more. The absolute opposite of what would happen in Bow's Britain. The absolute opposite. I'd reverse the devolution we've already got. But he wants to do more. Because he's a commie and he hates us and our institutions. Wants to ruin us. He's talking about making some elements of Number 10 Downing Street, the executive, putting them up in the north, having like a second, effectively like a second Number 10 Downing Street, some sort of equivalent anyway. Up north, maybe in Manchester or whatever. It's not like Britain is the Roman Empire and it's so massive that you actually need more than one capital. This island isn't that big. There's absolutely no need for that. No need for that, in my opinion. All right, let's get into it. Also, just to say, you guys are probably aware of this if you watch the Bow Show regularly, that the papers go to print last night. So if something happened in the wee hours, it won't be in the papers. Well, there was something. Should we mention that straight away, actually? There was something. There was some sort of giant or two giant earthquakes in Venezuela. And it's not on any of the front pages of the papers because it hadn't happened at that point. When they go to print at like 10 p.m. last night, British summertime, or 11, something like that. Two massive earthquakes. Like 7.2 or 7.5 on the Richter scale, and various reports saying how bad it is. Some say, look, at least 32 are dead and 700 injured. But others are saying, was it in the Sun, saying there might be tens of thousands. Quake tragedy, tens of thousands feared dead. After two earthquakes rock Venezuela. So, okay, just to say. That is a massive thing today in the news cycle, in the news, in the world. But it's not on any of the front pages. So I thought I'd bring that to you. If you do actually watch the Bow Show, not just for like my rants, but for to actually get the news. That's big, right? Could be tens of thousands of people. Okay, all right. Let's get back to the front page on Fleet Street in London. Right, the Mirror. It's so gross, the Mirror. Farage had some sort of Brexit bash in a French restaurant. So, the Mirror have got a Farage derangement syndrome real bad. Real, real bad. Like, had some sort of celebration or party or bash. Some sort of do. but he had it in a French restaurant. So what? So what? That's my thing. Okay, yesterday was the hottest day for June in British recorded history. Record baker. Get it? Like record breaker, but it was hot, like baking record baker. You get it, you get it. Apparently today is set to be slightly hotter even. So, last night was warm. I know a lot of people watching the Bow Show aren't in Britain. It won't really mean anything to you. If you are, you'll know. Last night was warm, muggy. I didn't get a very good night's sleep. Well, I really didn't. It was difficult. Really difficult. Apparently today and tomorrow will be... today and tonight will be as hot, if not slightly hotter. So, okay. All right. Maternity scandal. Never again. Yeah, this is that thing where it said... Yeah, never again. This is what it is. This is dominates the news cycle this morning, at least on the front pages. And it's the story of one specific hospital in Nottingham. Grieving families say deadly failings in maternity services must never be repeated. A review into Nottingham Hospitals. That's one hospital, though. It's called like Nottingham Hospitals Trust, but it's one hospital. Found that 520 mums and babies died or suffered harm which could have been prevented. Yeah, suffered avoidable harm. Health minister pledges lasting change to country. Never again. This is on a lot of the front pages. Various forms of that. Terrible. And it says all about how there was a culture of, well, various things of bullying, sweeping things under the carpet, just complete neglect when they realized things were going wrong over the course of like 10 years, just not addressing it, deliberately not addressing it. Anyone that did try to blow the whistle or address it or do anything, they just got bullied out, like, by managers. Seems like the real problem was like the managerial class rather than sort of particularly individual doctors or nurses, although it seems some of those are to blame as well. But largely it was more sort of like some sort of, seems from what I glean, I've read a fair bit about it this morning over the last hour and a half, that it's more sort of the managerial level, this one hospital in Nottingham. Except, it's not just one hospital, is it? It's nearly all of them, isn't it? It's not just maternity wards, is it? It's like this thing, oh, there's a terrible problem with mainly Pakistani rape gangs in Rochdale. Oh, just Rochdale, is it? Okay. Oh, no, it's also in Rotherham. Oh, just Rochdale and Rotherham, is it? Okay, yeah. Oh, and Oxford. Oh, just Rochdale and Oxford and... It's just this one hospital in Nottingham. You're right. It's just the maternity ward of that one in Nottingham. No. No. It's the whole rotten thing. The whole rotten thing. Not all of it, actually, to be fair. Some hospitals, some wards, some types of care in some hospitals are good, of course. The NHS is such a giant thing that there will be some that's good. A lot of it, particularly maternity, for some reason. Particularly maternity care on the NHS. But they'll have you believe, like they always do, silo it. It's one hospital in Nottingham. Every now and again, there'll be a story in the news cycle for a while. There's like one particular hospital somewhere. And there's like, oh, they've let loads of old people die on gurneys in corridors. We'll make sure it never happens again. What a terrible failure. Can't believe it happened in this one hospital one time. All the time. Everywhere. You know it's true. The Times, the venerable Times. Miliband takes key economic role in Burnham's backroom team. a lot of the sort of political wrangling around what Burnham's government will look like at the moment is revolving around who his chancellor is going to be. A lot of the reporting this morning is that he's got sort of three people in mind really to be chancellor, and Ed Miliband's one of them. It's probably the rock upon which your government is based, perhaps, isn't it? The chancellor. It's probably one of the first ones you've got to pick, isn't it? I would have thought you start from there and you build around that. You pick the big ones first. For a secretary, home secretary. Whether it will be Ed Miliband. There was one story I found interesting. It wasn't on the front pages, but it was on the website. Here we go. Here's a piece from the Mail. Andrew Pearce. He says, the brains behind Burnham's economic agenda. Oh, okay. That's interesting. Okay. I'd like to know more about that. A quasi-Marxist high tax fanatic who should terrify anyone who has savings or a pension. Huh. So Andy Burnham's economic worldview, his economic theory, is quasi-Marxist high tax. Yeah, again, squeezing the rich and even the middle class and then even working class people that have got anything until the pips go squeak. Right, classic. Classic socialism. I think they're doing a really, really virtuous thing by making society more equal or something. No, you're just stealing from people. That is. Just state-sponsored theft. Simple as that, isn't it? You're redistributing wealth, although, oops, unfortunately, it never really seems to trickle down to the people that actually require it. Oops. You're just stealing it and spending it on LGBTQ initiatives or something. Spending it on our invaders. Putting them up, giving them free money and handouts.
Right.
Oh, that, you'll call that the redistribution of wealth, with you? Tax the rich and the middle class and even working class people that have got anything in order to pay for their own invasion and demographic replacement. And you'll call that equality. You'll call that the redistribution of wealth, and that's morally right. These people, insane. During the last election campaign, a rising star of the Labour Party, aiming to win the safe seat of Peckham in South London, posted a glowing testimonial from one Andy Burnham on her website. Miatta, interesting name, Miatta, is a leading voice on the need to change our economy. Okay, never heard of this person. No one has. It's the sort of the point of this article. No one's ever heard of this person before, really, outside of a small, very small clique of Burnham people. Is a leading voice on the need to change our economy. Miatta. Okay. With the ideas of, with the ideas to bring about, said the man now seemingly set to become the next Prime Minister. It was the first inkling of just how close they are, this Miatta and Andy Burnham. They're really close. And how crucial this woman, who most voters have never heard of, is likely to be in the King of the North's new left-wing administration. According to a recent article in Socialist Bible, The New Statesman, that's funny, the Mail calls The New Statesman the Socialist Bible, she is set to be the brains, quote, the brains, behind Burnham's economic agenda, and that, say her critics, should terrify us all. Well, she is the brains behind his economic agenda. She will be extremely powerful in one way or another. Let's hear more about this person. Who is it? Miatta. Miatta Farnbulla. 46. There she is. Someone nobody's ever heard of. Some random African woman nobody's ever heard of, who's a quasi-Marxist and a high tax fanatic and wants to change our economy. Some African woman no one's ever heard of. But she's a sycophant of Andy Burnham. She's the brains behind the new political economy in Burnham's Britain, is she? All right, okay. Great. Great. She's got all the answers, really? Really? And the answers are more left-wing economic policy. Right. Look at the state of it. Apparently she's a disciple of Redhead Miliband as well. Mad. Absolutely mad. The exact opposite of what this country needs. Exact opposite. Just more state control of economy, they'll do. Just tax the country into oblivion. But to them, to a Marxist, that's the right thing to do. It's morally right to make sure there's no rich people, that no one's really got any wealth. If there's any liquid wealth, it should belong to the state. Normal people. Isn't that classic, the old cliche, the old WEF cliche? You'll have nothing. You own nothing. That's how they want it. Miata Farn Bulla. Okay. Okay. Cruel maternity care that left hundreds dead or injured. NHS leaders could face jail as report reveals they ignored serious failings for more than a decade. Yeah, who are the individual people? That's the thing. That's like the thing with these all the rape gang inquiries. What we would like to see, normal people, is the individual people that failed. Held to account. Because it does boil down to individual people. That's what quite often doesn't happen with the rape gang inquiries, like the J inquiery. Okay, yeah, there were institutional failures, there were failings at all levels, da, 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 da. And that's it. Don't really name anyone specific. Or if they do name them, they're not held to account. I wonder if this inquiry that's just finished, that took like years, 4 years or something, they say they are going to name them and hold them to account. We'll see. Wouldn't hold my breath. All right, the Mail, the Daily Mail. Day Kemi gave cheer to everyone depressed by Burnham's left-wing coup. Yeah, it was PMQs yesterday, wasn't it? Prime Minister's Questions yesterday. And Kemi was quite caustic and sarcastic. That's all. She's not too bad at that, to be fair. Some credit where it's due. Not every leader and leader of the opposition is any good at PMQs. She's not too bad at it. I don't want to give her any credit ever for anything, but I will, if it's merited. And it is, I suppose. But it was easy, though. It's a slam dunk, though, right? Prime Minister just gets cooed by Andy Burnham. It's quite easy to dunk on that, isn't it? I think. Britain's worst maternity scandal, NHS bosses ignored women's warnings as 500 mothers and babies died or were harmed at toxic hospital trust. Arrogance of the men who wouldn't listen at this hospital. King needs fan to keep his cool on hottest ever June day. Look, there's the King. Fat sausage fingers, King Charles III, Chaz, Saxe-Coburg-Gotha. He was a bit hot and one of his aides had to hold one of those little handheld fans there for him. That's it. Let's put that on the front page. Why not? The Financial Times. What is this? I didn't really read this morning. Something about China's robots. Working it. China's robots. Plug shortfall. I don't know what that is. The automaton thing, like robots, is getting more and more out of control. It actually looked like something out of iRobot now. The you remember that movie? They're beginning to actually look like them, aren't they? Okay. I'm not impressed. Again, I would John Connor all of these to hell. We don't need them. There's enough people in the world, unemployed people. We don't need to automate everything, do we? Make most of the world unemployed. I guess it's impossible to stop. It is like an actual Luddite, like smashing up some spinning jennies. It's like this. You can break a few of them, but it's not going to stop progress. Okay. Burnham plots number 10 in the north and push for radical devolution of power. Again, the exact opposite of what should be done, of what I would like done, what probably most of you out there watching this would like done. More devolution of power. No, don't. That damages our country, doesn't it? Every time. Additional office set for Manchester. Additional sort of executive number 10 style office. Wider decentralisation agenda. Why? Why would you do that unless you wanted to damage the country? Unless you wanted to make it harder for future governments to do their job. Don't see any other reason. There's no sort of grand political strategy behind that beyond damaging us. Doubt over split from Whitehall. Some in Whitehall, and of course people, civil servants in number 10 itself, are like, don't do that. Don't dilute our power. Okay. The Eye paper, they go something slightly different, talking about water. Failing water firms face state control under Burnham plans for power. A classic thing. Classic socialist thing. If anything's failing, just nationalise it. Does that work? Sometimes. Usually not. When you say something like that, you always get some pinko in the comments saying, oh, the privatisation of the railways worked really well, didn't it? Yeah, sometimes privatisation doesn't work very well, yeah. Yeah, okay. There's always a balance between nationalisation and privatisation of things. Usually when they just nationalise something, usually, not always, I grant, not always, it gets worse. Who would you rather have running something? A business, assuming you're not, your mind, your imagination isn't consumed by leftist thought, where you're like, evil capitalists. We can't have evil capitalists or anything. Just ask yourself, what would you rather have running something? A board of professional managers actively trying to make it work and efficient and make money, or civil servant bureaucrats that are unanswerable to anyone and they don't care if it fails or takes forever and costs an absolute fortune. Which one of those would you rather have? Look at the HS2 debacle. Okay, so water firms. I mean, by the way, if you look at, I did a tweet about Clement Attlee the other day. I've been reading loads about Clement Attlee, the Clement Attlee government, which was from 1941 to 1950, or 1951, where he nationalised loads and loads and loads and loads and loads and loads of things. Nationalised the railways, nationalised steel, coal, lots and lots of things. Just set up a board, a government board, to deal with it. They were largely running to the ground. It took until quite often until the 1970s before these things completely imploded, but they were run terribly. Like, say, Hugo Chavez, who just nationalised everything in Venezuela, country collapsed. Again, the example of socialist countries where they nationalise everything, like Cuba, might take a few decades, but you end up with everything failing to work. How many times do you have to do that? Maoist China, we'll nationalise everything, millions of people starve. The Soviet Union, we'll nationalise everything, complete collapse. Again and again and again and again. North Korea, everything's nationalised now, mass starvation. It's like, yeah, this is what they want to do. All right. The man said, not that the privatisation of the water companies has been brilliant, of course it hasn't. The man set to become Prime Minister within weeks will consider taking over England's sewage dumping companies using Paris model of public ownership. Public ownership, nationalisation. Blueprint being drawn up aims to take over firms that fail to breach their licences. Pardon me. Burnham wants to end profiteering. Cut household bills and tackle pollution. Okay, cutting household bills and tackling pollution, well and good. Great, yeah. Profiteering, that's the problem though. Do you see, some people made money, shareholders made money. Can't have that, that's the problem. That's not the problem. That's not the fundamental problem. It was mismanaged by people. Will nationalising it change that? If you get a different cabal of people that manage it, will they manage it better? They might. They might not. They quite possibly won't. But the idea that profiteering is itself, in and of itself, that's the problem. They're socialists for you. They're obsessed by it. They're obsessed by anyone that owns anything or anyone that has anything. They want you poor and they want you to have nothing. They want you to be absolutely dependent on the state so that they can control you. I don't know how many, again, I don't know how many times it has to play out through history. Okay. Critics of public ownership warn of potential for taxpayer to incur debt. Yeah. So if the thing's unprofitable and goes into debt for to the tune of millions and millions of pounds, I will just transfer to the public purse. Oh, instead of the shareholders in various ways having to pick that up, or it'll be the taxpayer. You're all right. They worry the potential to taxpayers to incur debts, damage to investor confidence in water sector, and delayed upgrades to infrastructure. I think you know it yourself, when councils run things, are they run efficiently? Are they run well? Or are they a clown show? Where they're way, way, way over budget and done way, way, way too slow and their final product is pathetically poor? You know the answer to that, don't you? You know the answer. Okay, the Telegraph, the Daily Telegraph. Again, look, the King. Charlie Sex Cobra Goth was a bit warm. So some boot-licking lackey had to hold a fan for him. He couldn't possibly hold his own fan. Burnham calls on Miliband as Chancellor. See, we've got some slightly different reporting today about how likely Ed Miliband is to be the Chancellor. Some are saying he's a shoo-in, and others saying, like that one, that perhaps Burnham's considering somebody else, actually. I think he did pick his Chief of Staff. Is it James Purnell? That was in the news last night, I saw. James Purnell, who's been in and around government since, like, the Blair years, that he'll be Burnham's Chief of Staff. That's interesting, because it was mooted that Josh Simons would be his Chief of Staff, the guy that stepped down in order to let Andy run in Makerfield. Apparently that sweet job has gone somewhere else. All right, Burnham calls on Miliband as Chancellor. Challenger fears repeat of a Blair-Brown rift if he appoints Darling of the Left to number 11. Darling of the Left, Ed Miliband. Yeah, because whoever you make Chancellor is then, by definition, same goes with Home Secretary and Foreign Secretary, is by definition one of the biggest beasts in the party. If anyone was looking to usurp you, the leader, it would be one of them, probably. If anyone who doesn't know, it's a fair few years ago now, isn't it? It feels like just yesterday still to me, but the whole Blair-Brown rift, where Gordon Brown, texture like sun, had a faction in the party that was as powerful as Blair's, or towards the end, more powerful. Does Andy Bumham, King of the North, with his guy liner and double chins and moobs, does he fear that Red Ed Miliband could become more powerful than he could ever imagine if he made him Chancellor of the Exchequer? Maybe. I mean, Ed Miliband's already had his chance. He's already had a go at being the leader of the Labour Party and took them all the way to a general election and lost handily. So why anyone thinks Ed Miliband should go on to be the leader again? This is what parliamentary power is like. There's big beasts and everyone else circles around them, orbits around them, hoping for a good job. Kind of gross, really, isn't it? That's the way it is, though. Homeowners ordered to rip out aircon. I didn't read this story. Sounds absurd, though. Sorry, absurd. Quite often pronounce that as though. Sounds like I'm saying absurd. I know it's absurd. That sounds absurd. Rip out aircon? Why? Because of net zero stuff? I don't know. All right. How many more mothers and babies must die? Asks report author. Yeah, good question. Yeah, good question. But the NHS must have quotas of diversity. They must have many, many layers of bureaucracy of people. That's the way it is. That's the way it's been built. It's hard baked into it. And it's not fit for purpose anymore, is it? It's not fit for purpose. The Metro, ooh. Ooh. Look, there's Bumham and his makeup. He's wearing a lot of makeup there, isn't he? Well, I don't wear makeup. We never do makeup. We haven't got any sort of... we haven't got a makeup person. We don't bother with any of that. Au naturel. More honest, isn't it? Look how much makeup he's wearing there. It's ridiculous. He's got foundation on and everything. What is that? Kemi lashes out at Andy. She mentioned his eyelashes. You know what I say about that he wears eyeliner? Guyliner. Mascara. Other people have noticed that. Bednock calls Olukemi Badenoch, the Nigerian woman, who somehow finds herself at the head of the opposition, whose mum just came out here from Nigeria in order to take the absolute mickey out of the NHS, have her baby on the NHS. That woman says that the PM in waiting is nothing but a pair of eyelashes and a black T-shirt. It's not a bad dunk, to be honest. Yeah. The idea that he's like something special, some sort of political force, that he's got like all the answers, that he's like a wizard of policy. He can turn the party and the country around. No. He's just some sort of idiot throwback parlour in Pinko. That's all he is. That's all he is. Some sort of northern moron who's obsessed with leftist ideas that don't work. That's all he is. Yeah, a throwback. A man out of time. We've tried it. We've tried this stuff for quite a while. Now, since 1997, we've tried your way of doing it, and it's led us to ruin. There's talk, isn't there, the stories that he wants to lock in the Boris wave. Just blanketly give them all indefinite right to remain. So an insane, like, suicidal thing. Absolute traitor. An enemy of the people, quite literally. An enemy of the people. Wants us demographically replaced as fast as possible and our economy ruined as fast as possible. And he'll call it equality. And he'll say to you with a straight face, it's the right thing to do. Okay. The Express, oh, it's good paper. You can read your Express now. There's that Emma, what's her name? Radichoyu. It's not Radichoyu, is it? Raducanu. She's some tennis player that's British. I mean, her parents are like Chinese and Romanian, and she was born in Canada, but she's British. She's British now. Because the very idea of having an ethnic component to the national identity of being British is neo-Nazi, isn't it? So she's British. A Romanian Chinese person born in Canada is British. Okay, right. But she's quite pretty, so even though she's a very mediocre tennis player, they put her on the front page all the time. All right. Campaigners urge PM in waiting Burnham not to scrap essential pensioner payout. Oh, sorry. Sorry. Campaigners urge PM in waiting. Sorry. Should be a comma there. PM in waiting, Burnham, not to scrap essential pensioner payout. Okay. Don't target a crucial pension triple lock. Why not? Why not? It's completely unaffordable and unsustainable. Oh, but old people, they must have a triple lock. Must they? What, so that the generations that succeed them get nothing? The whole pension thing completely implode, but they must have their triple lock. Must they? I don't think so. Like The Guardian. Ugh. The Guardian. Weirdo, lying freaks. Insane, subversive enemies. The Guardian. Insane. Look at this. The Guardian. Look, be scared that it's hot. The new normal. Hand wringing, pearl clutching. The new normal. It's a bit warm. UK registers hottest day ever. France breaks heat record again. Extremes driven by climate crisis. There's no climate crisis. It's not a crisis. It's mad, isn't it? That's what they do. They're literally just waiting. You know, have the coldest winter and they'll just say, keep stum. You have a really hot day, even a record-breaking hot day. And they're like, this is the moment. This is the moment to try and fear-monger for the agenda. The agenda. If anything, we're in an interglacial period. But they're worried about some sort of a runaway greenhouse effect, like they've got on Venus. Nonsense. Nonsense. That all the ice caps are going to melt. Nonsense. No. We're almost certainly between mini ice ages. Just have some perspective, honestly. What records began in, what, the 19th century or even early 20th century, systematic worldwide records of temperature. You expect the Earth's climate, which will always be in flux, you expect climate to remain like that. You expect the world's climate and temperatures to remain as they were in sort of the early, mid-20th century. They just remain like that. Anything, if it moves from that, then there's a climate crisis. No, no. That's like a tiny snapshot of the Earth's history. Tiniest of snapshots. If you zoom out a bit on the graph, you'll see that it's not a crisis. You'll see that we've had temperatures vastly warmer than this. Vastly. Where there have indeed actually been no ice caps, where there have been tropical plants growing on Antarctica. Palm trees growing on Antarctica. We've had snowball Earth, where the ice caps come down all of Canada and a lot of North America, most of Europe is covered in glaciers and ice sheets. We've had both of those extremes more than once. But get some perspective. Just get some perspective. But it's not about that, is it? It's not about what's true. It's not about what's real. It's not about that. Probably the reality is that over the next maybe 5,000 years, something on that scale, we'll have a period of glaciation again. It's not about that, is it? No. It's about their agenda of controlling people, scaring you into being pliant with their agenda. That's what it's about. It's not about how hot the day is. Don't be fooled. They'll tell you the science is in, the debate is over. Man-made CO2 drives climate change. No, it doesn't. 400 parts per million, maybe half of that is man-made CO2 since the Industrial Revolution or since World War II. So what, something in the order of 200 parts per million man-made CO2, that doesn't drive climate change. 200 odd parts per million? Do you know how tiny that is? Do you know how tiny that is? That doesn't drive climate change. It just doesn't. The internal processes of the Earth. Volcanoes, the weather patterns of the sun, how the sun behaves, that will drive climate on Earth far more, far, far, far more than man-made CO2. You can't burn fossil fuels because man-made CO2 will drive a climate crisis. It just doesn't actually make sense. It doesn't stand up to scrutiny. It is nonsense. Oh, and only for Western countries, India and China. They can burn as much fossil fuel as they want. It would be racist or bigoted for us to sort of question that. What? What are you talking about? It's mad, the whole climate thing. Or they'll point to the hockey stick, the 1990 UN hockey stick thing. Look, if that trend continues, there'll be a runaway greenhouse effect and all the ice caps will melt. And Manhattan will be underwater by 2012. Yeah, right. Meanwhile, you have to do as you're told because of it. Oh. All right. We'll come up with more and more restrictive things and censorious measures, more and more encroachment of the state and the government into your lives because of it. Oh. Huh. Okay. But it's to do with the climate, is it? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. There's going to be climate taxes now. Oh, are there? All right. We're going to start charging you 40p for a plastic carrier bag because of the climate crisis. People that have bought into this just need to get some perspective about climate, about climate change. It will always be in flux. Always. If it's getting slightly hotter over the last few decades, okay, so be it. We're nowhere near a runaway greenhouse effect. Nowhere near. Again, in the past, we've had CO2 levels orders of magnitude higher than they are now. Orders of magnitude. What was the result? Megaflora. An explosion of life. We're at some sort of all-time low for CO2 in the atmosphere. But man-made CO2 drives climate change. All right, okay. I said my piece. All right, the Daily Star, what pure slop. Look, Gareth Southgate, who used to be the manager of England, he goes to bed before the games because they're in America. For Britain, they're on quite late, aren't they? Often at 10, 11 p.m., midnight. Gareth Southgate's in bed by that point. That's front page news. There you go. Again, King Charles got hot. King Charles got a bit hot. Look, there's a little bit of sweat on the side of his face. It's so hot, Chaz is sweating, unlike bro Andy. This is the front page. As you remember, Andy, Prince Andrew, formerly was, now just Andrew Mountbatten, his little brother, he famously said he doesn't sweat. The king does, though. Look, there you go. The Independent. Hunted, kidnapped, blackmailed and tortured for being LGBTQ+. This is the most important thing in the world right now, according to The Independent. Front and centre. This is the world of keto attacks in Nigeria, where gay and trans people are catfished and extorted by gangs in a surge of violence and hatred. Don't care. Sorry, I'm just going to say I don't care about that. That's in Nigeria. That's their problem. We've got enough problems of our own. Well, I'm supposed to care about gay and trans people in Nigeria being exploited by other Nigerians in Nigeria. I don't care. I don't care about that. I care about my country and what's going on in my country and my people. Don't give me that. The poor plight of LGBT people in Nigeria. Don't care. Ugh, the Sun. This is ridiculous. This is so ridiculous, it's actually a bit funny. Kane, Harry Kane, that football player there, if you don't know. Probably England's best striker. Kane curse lifted. They jinx it's all over. It is now. Remember the old cliche from 1966. They think it's all over. It is now. They jinx it's all over. It is now. This guy, a witch doctor, has removed a curse because Harry Kane went one game without scoring a goal. He's cursed. And this witch doctor was able to remove the curse. England fans, that's so small I can barely read it. That's so small I can't read it, I'm afraid. But the story said that we can rest easy now. We can rest easy now. There was a... He's been released. Harry Kane has been released from his curse by this dude. All right. Okay. They're the front pages. Those were the increasingly absurd front pages from Fleet Street. Mostly slop, isn't it, really? Mostly slop. Mostly treating you like a buffoon. That's a complete idiot. All right, shall we have a look at our poll? We usually look at our poll at this stage of the show. I think, Thomas, you'd need to bring it up. Little Harry often does that because I can't see it at the moment. So I'll just wait for this. It's his first day. Give him a break. There you go. Brilliant. There you go. Thank you. We asked you guys, have you seen the price of fuel decrease at the pumps recently? Oh, yeah, because let's show you. The price of crude has come down even further. It's definitely, fully cheaper than it was than at the beginning of the war with Iran. Look, West Texas is just shy of $70 a barrel, 69.35. In fact, earlier this morning, about an hour and a half, it was much lower than that. West Texas was at like, was it as low as like 62 or something? Anyway, it was a bit lower than that even, like an hour and a half ago, 2 hours ago. But at the moment, West Texas is shy of $70 a barrel, and Brent crude is about $72 a barrel. When the war began, it was at about $78. So it's cheaper. It's cheaper. So we ask you, have you seen the price of fuel decrease at the pumps? 77% of you say no. Not fair, is it? Not fair. There are a myriad of reasons why that will be. It's just simply not fair, is it? 23% of you say yes, though. That's interesting. I thought it might be like a high 90s. I was expecting the no vote there to be in the 90s, to be honest. I'm slightly surprised as much as 23% said yes. Okay, still mostly no. The majority, though, is still no. Thomas, I can't remember what you said this morning, but you drive. Have you noticed it go down?
Not at all.
Not at all. Okay. All right. Let's have a quick look at... well, it's already quarter to. We'll have a quick look at the websites. There's one or two stories that are of like, oh, yeah, so the Venezuela earthquake. Over the coming day, it might... More and more news and info come out that... Might be, I don't know. But thousands of people have been crushed in that earthquake. Two earthquakes, they were saying. Scotland got smashed 3-0 by Brazil in the football. I know you guys don't care, so I'll leave it at that. But the jocks got smashed by the Brazilians. It was expected, though, wasn't it? Trump asks Congress for $87 billion, mostly for urgent Iran war costs. Some sort of resolution went through Congress and the Senate to curb Trump's Iran powers, but it wasn't a binding resolution in any way. So it's just sort of it's more like an exercise in finger wagging rather than actual any restraint on Trump's power. And I think three or four Republicans voted with the Democrats on that, and Trump just calls them losers. They're just losers. We'll see what happens after the midterms, because Trump is remarkably powerful at the moment. In terms of controlling Congress and the Senate, and of course the Supreme Court is with him, so he's actually sort of as powerful as a president can be. Could have a bigger majority in the Senate or supermajority, but still, as far as presidents go, Trump at the moment is relatively powerful. Let's see what happens after the midterms. Usually a president. Whatever party is in the White House usually do poorly at the midterms. But not always, we'll see. There's some evidence, isn't there, that Trump and the Republicans might do better than expected. That some people, even a big chunk of people in America, are not completely jaded by Trump and MAGA at this point. Still. We'll see. GTA 6, the long-awaited GTA 6. Is coming out. I think it came out today. It's coming out today. Or you can buy the people that are allowed to buy it slightly earlier than normal people can. So anyway, I think it's like $80 or £70. And the physical edition won't even contain a disc. It gives you some sort of... Anyway, GTA 6. Are you looking forward to GTA 6? Maybe we'll ask that on the poll tomorrow. Thomas, are you looking forward to GTA 6? Do you care about that?
No.
Oh. There you go. Fair enough. Some said it's going to be a bit woke. Been waiting for it for ages. It's supposed to come out like years ago, wasn't it? It's supposed to come out like 10 years ago, or maybe not quite that long, but it just gets being pushed back and back and back. It'll probably be the biggest selling game of all time, you would have thought. The last one wasn't it? GTA 5, wasn't it? I haven't got time, quite literally haven't got time to spend to just sink like 100 or 200 hours into GTA 6. I would like to. I'd like to be 22 again. And just spend my evenings playing that. But, okay. All right, GTA 6 is coming out. Means a great deal to some people who are into gaming. All right, is there one or two other things? The Venezuela earthquake. Venezuela earthquake. See, that's the main thing now. Ugh, look at that. This guy, British Airways pilot 30, raped schoolgirl 12 after grooming her on Instagram. That guy. If you're only listening to this on audio, you'll have to guess what he looks like. You'll just have to guess. All right, should we do On This Day in History? I quite like doing that bit. You don't. You guys seem to like me doing that bit. On this day, the 25th of June, down through the centuries, what happened of note? Right, what have we got? 1678, Venetian Elena Carano Cornaro Piscopia. Never heard of this. Is awarded a Doctor of Philosophy from the University of Padua, the first woman to receive a university doctoral degree in or PhD. They do this these days, don't they? In this woke world, they do it. They'll find something really obscure, the first woman to do something, the first black person to do something, the first black woman to do something. No one's ever heard of them. It's the most obscure thing in history ever. And they'll find it and dig it out and promote it as though it's mainstream history, as though everyone always knew that. Until not that long ago, no one ever talked about Windrush. That was an extremely obscure bit of history. Windrush. I maybe heard it once before, like 5-10 years ago. It wasn't a well-known thing at all. Now they talk about it like it's part of the popular culture, popular history, really important thing that everyone knows about, needs to know about. They'll pick out some random black nurse from the American Civil War no one's ever heard of, and suddenly their name is really important. Should be part of popular history. Okay, like this. Eleanor Cornaro Piscopia, from the 17th century, the first woman to get a PhD from Padua. Don't care. Don't care. It's not important. Custer's Last Stand. All right. George Custer. The story of Custer's Last Stand is a great one. Fascinating one. He's a Civil War hero, actually, Custer. He was impetuous. He made tactical and strategic errors at the Battle of Little Bighorn. 1786, Battle of Little Bighorn, US 7th Cavalry under Major General George Armstrong Custer is wiped out by Sioux and Cheyenne warriors led by Chiefs Crazy Horse and Sitting Bull in what becomes famously known as Custer's Last Stand. It's interesting and important because, in fact, of course, the US went on to completely dominate the Indians, the First Nation peoples, whatever you want to call them, the native indigenous peoples. They went on. There was only one, that Custer's Last Stand and the massacre there is one tiny blip of success as far as the Sioux and the Cheyenne were concerned. Of course, they and US-hating Americans will play it up for all time. Like, it's a great thing. Like how the Zulus won a very small victory against the British Army one time. I make out that that's some sort of great thing. It's not. We went on to completely trounce you. Again, the US went on to completely trounce them. It's interesting anyway. In the end, I can't remember if it's Crazy Horse or Sitting Bull. I think Sitting Bull. He ended up being captured and living on for years. I think it was Sitting Bull. It was one of them, anyway. Went on living for years and years and years. Like, maybe even into the very early 20th century. And he got trotted out as like a curiosity. Like, look, here's this old, genuine, old, like, Sioux chieftain. Look, he's real. He's still alive. Look, there he is. Ta-da! We the British did the same with the head of the Zulu nation as well. But they won a great victory, sure. In 1929, US President Herbert Hoover authorises the construction of Boulder Dam, now known as the Hoover Dam. Is this a goddamn? Yeah, the Hoover Dam. As far as dams go. A very important one. And somewhat beautiful, if that's your bag. On this day, 1941, US President FDR signs Executive Order 8802, which forbids racial discrimination in the defence industry. Largely what that was about, well, not largely, but a portion of what that was about was Italian-Americans, because Mussolini was on the side of the Axis, wasn't he? Italy was an enemy of the United States in World War II, right? And yet there's loads of Italian-Americans. Awkward. Does the United States need to sort of make sure that their Italian-American population is loyal to the United States, not Italy? Like sabotaging the shipbuilding and stuff like that. That's largely about. All right, the Korean War. In 1950, North Korea invades South Korea, beginning the Korean War. I've talked about the Korean War on and off a couple of times on Epochs, but I need to do a proper long form stuff about the Korean War. It's such a ding dong back and forth. It really is. Now, both World War I and World War II were, well, World War I's in the Western Front, very static really, for most of it, not all of it, but most of it. World War II, very broadly speaking, the momentum was clear who it was with, when it changed. But the Korean War, it swung wildly back and forth a number of times, who was winning and who wasn't. Interesting one. Very interesting. Okay, and on this day in 2021, World Health Organization head Tedros, I can never pronounce the rest of his name, that Tedros fella, confirms the COVID-19 Delta variant is the most transmissible to date, now present in 85 countries and spreading rapidly. It wasn't much worse than flu, though, was it? Basically like a cold or flu, wasn't it? You definitely didn't need to inject yourself with weird experimental drugs which didn't prevent you getting it, in my opinion. All right, should we do our Rumble Rants and Super Chats? Let's have a look at those. We do the Rumble Rants first, as always. Will global church history be in at number one? Yes, he is. Reigning, defending, and still the champion of Rumble Rants on the Bow Show. Global church history. First name global, middle name church, surname history. Says, on this day in 1080 AD, Emperor Barbarossa declares his vassal Wilbert of Ravenna to be Pope Clement III, beginning the Wilbertine line of anti-popes. That's interesting. Very interesting stuff. Of course, it's after the Great Schism, when the Eastern and Western churches split. That's in like the 50s, the 1050s, right? So this is a different schism, basically. It's to do with that question of I can't remember the formal name of it, but the question of who gets to name bishops, whether it should be the Pope or whether it should be kings. Or really, the whole struggle between kings and popes. Who's more powerful? Who's the ultimate authority? Is it the church or is it the crown? Is it the papal diadem or actual regnal kings? Well, it's a question that raged on for centuries after that. Sometimes not settled until the Reformation, until like the 16th century. It wasn't fully settled in England until Henry VIII. Different kings and different popes felt very differently about it. That was part of that, where you'd have anti-popes. There's been all sorts of anti-popes running around for centuries. Like, this is the beginning of it, but for centuries to come. Like when I did my stuff about Henry V, in like the early 15th century, the Council of Constance, like 1415. There's like four guys running around claiming to be Pope. At least one legit Pope and three anti-popes. For a long time there was three, one and two other anti-popes. Like the Avignon anti-popes. Anyway, it's all there. I can't go into it now. That's far too deep. Just to begin to scratch the surface on that, I would need an hour. Okay. The other thing you say here is, And on this day in 1483, Parliament declared Edward V illegitimate. On Bodade's Epochs, my history theme channel behind the paywall on lotusetus.com, do consider signing up for as little as £5 a month for bronze tier membership. Earlier this year, I've got content all about long form content, deep dives into the Wars of the Roses. And just after the wars, still within it, Edward the Fourth, great strong Yorkist king who won the crown, dies of natural causes, sort of out of nowhere. He's got a little son who's only like 11, Edward the Fifth. But he's got a badass uncle, Richard, Duke of Gloucester, Richard the Third, who decides, if that little boy, my nephew, my own nephew, if he should for some reason fail to keep living, I would be king. Oh, and his little brother. If my two little nephews, if for whatever reason they happened to find themselves in their graves, I could be king. I would be king, wouldn't I? Lo and behold, they disappear. First, yet to make him legally illegitimate, though. Which they did. The prince is in the tower. Okay, let's crack on. Luke Stewart says, g'day, Bo. G'day, mate. And everyone, how is everyone doing this fine Thursday morning? Good, thanks. Yeah, fine, thank you. Cheers. Yeah, warm. It is warm. It was an uncomfortable night's sleep. We've got the aircon on in here, so I'm all right now. Thank you very much. Hope you're doing well. It's winter down in Oz, right? So it's probably not baking. It's probably still quite warm. You put, just wondering if you saw the article about Paul Powell's link. No, I still haven't. Sorry. Still haven't. I said I would, didn't I? Okay, I must remember to do that today. I said I would. I hate saying I would do something and then just failing to. I do like to try and keep my word where possible. But quite often what happens is, the reality, just to let you know, is I finish this show every morning and then I have to immediately go off and start doing other stuff. So fairly immediately. Like today, for example, straight after the show, I've got to go in and record a bit for Epochs. Talking about Henry VIII again, actually. Talking about Jane Seymour, the Jane Seymour years. And then other stuff and on and on and on. And so quite often I'll just forget. I'll just move on. But I'll try and remember that. In fact, Thomas, can you make a note of that, even on a post-it or something?
Yep.
Thank you. Because I hate saying I'll do something and then failing to. So, okay, all right. And you put, and thankfully, fuel has gone down. Okay, Luke Stewart, at least in Australia, saying fuel has gone down. I'm paying about $1.80 a litre. That seems cheap. Is that cheap? I know it's Australian dollars, but still, that sounds not too bad. Sounds way cheaper than here. Okay. I'll try and remember to do that for you, Luke, because I know you're a super fan. You send in all sorts of super chats and rumble rants, so I owe it, yeah. I'll look it up. I'll try and remember to look it up. Okay. TomRat247 says, morning, Tenacious B. Oh, I like that. Tenacious B. The greatest breakfast show in the world. The problem is not the quality or quantity of government everyone gets. Everyone gets some punctuation. Sorry. Thank you for the rumble rant. The problem is not the quality or quantity of government. Everyone gets a say in, but the quality and quantity of the plebiscite. Like the electorate, you mean? Is that right? The quality of the voting public. Is that what you mean? This is why Heinleinism fixes this, all of it. Robert Heinlein, who did Starship Troopers. I.e. you have to serve before you're allowed to be a citizen. You actually have to be engaged and understand what's going on and have a vested interest in society before you're considered eligible for a vote. Broadly speaking, it's not an insane concept, is it? A lot of democracies in the past, most medieval and ancient democracies, went along those lines to some extent, that you needed, like ancient Athens, for example, a property qualification, or the Roman Republic. Only once you owned property in the country and a certain age and all sorts of other things. Yeah, you, that you've actually got a stake in whether the country does well or not. Rather than just complete universal manhood suffrage and womanhood suffrage and 16-year-old suffrage. But as you probably know, in real life, if you ever start talking about restricting the franchise in any way, most people go berserk at that, don't they? Weird. Okay, Pigdog5150 says, record-breaking high temperature today. Going for a curry tonight. Makes sense. Hope they have aircon. Does it make sense? I wouldn't be eating a hot food, much less spicy food, in this weather. I had a cold prawn and cucumber pasta salad with fresh dill in it for dinner last night. Cold. Lovely. Now, I don't want a hot curry, and it's spicy as well. Although if they've got aircon, you'll be probably all right. Don't go for a vindaloo or a fowl, though. Surely not. Surely not. Right, Luke Stewart again. To clarify about the $1.80 fuel, I was paying cost the $3 a litre, and then the government decided to cut a fuel tax slightly, which had a big help, I think, getting fuel from the US as well. All right, yeah. I mean, as I understand it, Australia has got big untapped natural resources, if they need. Okay, all right. Luke again, or the next three are all Luke, so I'll just read those out. It says, I find it funny when they bitch about carbon being released. The two largest producers are in India and China. I think combined gets close to 60% of all emissions, that yet they are never blamed. Yeah, I mean, I don't accept that carbon dioxide drives climate change at all. And that man-made CO2, no. And that it's nearly all China and India, but we have to change. Yeah. Stupid. Stupid, crazy. Okay, look again. Hope everyone is doing well today. Thursday is a hard to catch, I guess, watching the Bow Show. As I'm currently working and only get bits and pieces of the show, I try and get the Q&A at the end. Great. Dedication. Dedication's what you need. Luke again says, I know a lot of people are excited. They have the interior of schools and pride parades, and they start playing that scene from American Psycho where he has the headset and pumped up kicks playing. I have seen American Psycho a couple of times, but not in years. Don't remember that scene exactly. Okay. And the last one here from Luke says, I'm talking about GTA 6. Apparently people are looking forward to the game for certain reasons. Wink. Oh, I don't know enough about it. What's there to wink about? I don't know. I swear some of these memes, they're going to get us onto a watch list. Sorry, I can't really comment on that. I don't know enough about it. Sounds like it's like spicy. There's something, some subtext there. All right. And now the YouTube ones. Let's have a look at the YouTube ones. There's only a few. Okay. Billy Mongahan says, Low just endorsed multiculturalism and integration. Oh, did he? What on earth is going on with him this week? Trying to burn down the party, or does he think Yank podcasts can't be viewed in the UK? Deus vult. Oh, okay, I didn't know he endorsed multiculturalism and integration. I mean, I haven't seen these clips, so I can't really comment on it at this point. Maybe I'll comment on it tomorrow. Okay, if true, extremely disappointed. I did see clips of him yesterday, brand new clips of him, being super based. Saying super based things about demographic decline. So... Not going to say, I haven't seen the clips yet, so I'll reserve judgment on that, or reserve comment anyway. Okay. Martin Javier says, Ave Restituta, Restituta Britannia. Ave. There's a YouTube channel called Songun007. an old man advocating for the Jute ideology. Jute? I don't know what that is. In your version of Britain, how would a fifth columnist this deluded be treated? I'm sorry, I don't know what the Jute ideology is. I've never heard of that. I'm reasonably well versed in political philosophy. Again, my master's degree was basically political philosophy. Largely. I don't know what that is. J-U-C-H-E, Jute ideology. Sorry, mate. I don't know what that is. I'll try and look it up. Well, we'll look it up. Sounds interesting. The fifth columnist. A deluded fifth columnist. You know how they should be treated, of course. Because of T's and C's, I can't go any further with that thought. Okay, let's carry on. Adam Waller says, England need to find the skull of St. Oswald and exploit its talismanic power. It may be difficult getting it through the TSA, though. Yeah. Now, the veneration of relics. We haven't done that in England for a long time. Perhaps we should. We've got nothing to leave at this point. Okay. Haram B Express. Oh, Haram B Express. Says, was in a 7.2, I guess, earthquake, I suppose you mean, was in a 7.2 in Vanuatu earlier this year. In the worst building in the entire country, built by the Chinese out of tofu. And you weren't crushed under it. I don't know if you're sort of just joking about there, or whether you really were in Vanuatu and just about survived a 7.2 earthquake. Either way, glad you're okay. Thanks for the super chat. Quite Blackpilled says, and this is, you've put it in quotes, so someone's saying this, says, the notion that you were a peaceable people before the arrival of the white man is the most fanciful lie of all, end quote. Bury my heart at Wounded Knee Peak. Oh! Talking about Native American Indians, isn't that? I know that quote. It's from a drama that was... The idea that the American Indians were like this... They're just kumbaya, all-loving brotherhood of American Indians that never did any harm to anyone and certainly didn't fight each other. It was only when the evil white man colonist from across the ocean came along. Yeah, no. They were just as warlike as all other tribal peoples, i.e. very warlike. Even genocidal sometimes. Okay, yeah. Luke Stewart says, GTA 6 will have schools and pride parades. Oh, I see. They're going to make it... Oh, okay, I see, sorry. GTA 6 will be crazy woke. GTA 6, we have schools and pride parades. I think you can draw the connection there. Right. Have a great day, everyone. Probably not going to make tomorrow work. Okay. Well, sorry to miss you. Hopefully you can catch up with it later in the day. Okay, yeah, so people can... In GTA 6, you can do... Things that are in very bad taste, let's say that. Okay. Two more. Xenothium says, Bo, you can eliminate one news organisation from the world. Which one do you choose? The BBC. Easy. Easiest question I'll get today. Okay. And the last one here from Tatum2733 says, Juche. Juche, it's the North Korean ideology. Okay, I'm afraid I don't know about it. I must plead ignorance on that. I'm afraid. The North Korean ideology. Just their type of communism, like the Kim Il-sung style. Okay. Right. So we've got a fifth columnist doing that in England, have we? Oh, gross. What did you say? About someone being deluded. I can't find it here now, but okay, yeah. Songun 007, an old man advocating for North Korean style ideology in your vision of Britain. How would a fifth columnist like this be deleted? Absolutely deported. They like, if he likes North Korean style communism, go and live there. You're in the wrong country, mate. You're in the wrong country. Subversive, a fifth columnist, an enemy of our state. Okay, that's the show. It's now 15 minutes past 9 in the AM, British summertime, on Thursday the 25th of June in the year of our Lord 2026. Thank you for joining me. You've been the Gross Band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. Without you, it isn't a thing. It really isn't. Try and make the best of the day ahead. Try and keep cool, stating the obvious. Unless you're in the Southern Hemisphere and it's winter. If you're in Britain, try and keep cool. Heat exhaustion, heat stroke, it's a real thing. Can be a little bit dangerous. All right, try and make the best of your time. I don't want to be too preachy about it. Until tomorrow then, take care.
Here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.